1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, please. 1 Timothy 3. And we're going to stand in honor of God's word, if you're physically able. And we're going to read together these two verses at the end of the chapter, verses 15 and 16. And again, we're kind of wrapping up this thing of church membership. And I think that we're almost going to get done. I might have one more thing to say next Sunday night as well. But still praying on that. So, you know, we ought to want to be what God wants us to be as a member of the church. You know, it's the body should be in tune with itself, you know, and with its head. You all feel better when your body's in tune with your head, right? I mean, when it's out of tune, you don't feel well, right? And so we want to be in tune with the Lord and what he wants from us, his local church. So let's read together verses 15 and 16 as we begin tonight. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. As we continue to look on at these things of church membership, I do want to just quickly go back and reiterate, I guess I should say, that as a church, we need to be like-minded in the things that we think, that we believe, that we practice, etc., because that's what a church needs to be. It needs to be in unity, not divided, etc. You also please understand that in our world today, not everybody believes like we believe. And let me just say something, and I know you're not going to like it. That's okay. All right? Now, I'm not saying that's okay, that's okay. It's okay that they have a choice of their own. And people can make their own choices. That's what God is all about. You understand? We have a free choice. Now, he wants us to choose right and truth and all of those things. But if they don't, it's on them. It's between them and God, and that's their business, if you will. But I also say this for another reason, that when we get a chance to meet together and we get the chance to come together and we have people come and join the church and become part of this body of believers, they should come in and at least by saying the things that they say they believe, that we believe. Otherwise, they can go join another congregation that believes like they believe, etc. You understand that there are times where people come into a church seeking to break up that church or seeking to draw away people. You know, there are people out there that say, you know, this church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, you independent Baptists. That's one of my favorites. You independent Baptists. Okay. You got my attention. I'm listening. And you know, they come and they say, well, we're gonna teach your people the right way. No thanks. We don't need that here. We don't want that here. By the way, how'd you like it if I went to your church and started, you know, stealing members out from underneath your pastor's nose? I'm sorry, this shepherd don't play that game. All right? I have a cordless hole puncher. It works really well. I practice with it. I test it. I make sure that it has plenty of hole punching capabilities. Yeah. Don't come and mess with the church. You're going to get in trouble. And you know, so the thing is if all the church knows what we believe and how we believe and what we practice, then guess what? All the sheep just go, bad, wolf, you know, and they, as soon as somebody comes in and starts yapping about this or yapping about that, all the sheep just kind of look at him like, you don't know what you're doing, pal. That shepherd up there, he's going to get you. And you know what? But if the sheep are ignorant, then they might just be sucked in by those wolves. Because, you know, in James and in 1st and 2nd Peter, they tell us about these wolves in sheep's clothing. And their whole purpose is to come steal away the flock. The devil hates the church, folks. And he's going to try to undermine it any way he can. So that's another reason why we need to study the value of church membership, what it's all about. And so we've been talking about this for many weeks now, well, many months now, and we have some levels because we want church members to grow. The first step is become a member of the local church. And so become a member, join up, to say, hey, look, this is what we believe, this is, and we understand. Listen, I'll go over all of the doctrines, all the bylaws, how our church is run, and we go over that, we talk about it. Do you have any questions about it? Listen, you may not understand it all just yet, but you say, you know what? Yes, that's written according to the Word of God. This is what I want. This is what I want to be a part of. Boom, sign us up. A public profession of faith? Yep. Baptism in a church of like faith? Yep, you're in. And so you see, joining a church shouldn't be that difficult. You just got to want the truth and what stands for the truth, and that's the local church. And so once you get in, though, you can begin serving. We have a great opportunity. Right here, it's even listed. A vacation Bible school volunteer. We got a sign-up list back there. Entry level in the church, you can come be a volunteer in vacation Bible school. That's great. You can come soul winning. You can help in a nursery home ministry, food groups, country fair, friend day, big days and things like that. You can be a part of all of those things if you're just a regularly attending member of Lighthouse Baptist Church. You could just be a part of those general ministries. Now, if you want to move forward in your service for the Lord, the next level requires a background check. You say, why? Because of the world we live in today. It's just important to have those kinds of things. And then you can begin working with the nursery and singing in the choir, missing out on cake and ice cream. You know, all of those sacrifices we give up for the Lord. Right? Amen. Amen. And you could be an usher. You can work with the audio video ministry, be an altar worker and all these different things. And so you can serve on a bus route. All of this stuff, you can begin to work with people in the local church. And that's what you should move up a level. And then maybe one day as you grow and as you mature and as you train in the ministry and the things of the Word of God, you can become a Sunday school helper. You can serve in a Sunday school nursery and children's church time where you're missing a church service to serve somewhere else. You say, why do you want to grow to a level like that? Well, because you understand that we need preaching. We need teaching. And if you just get saved and you just get a part of a church and just get baptized and jump in and you just start serving while church is going on, you're not going to learn and grow. So you need to learn and grow. You need to have a time like that. And then you begin serving during preaching services. And you know what? But you can't miss too many. So what we want is we want people to make sure they're at least present for one time where they're not serving and they're just listening during a week's time. And listen, that's important because workers need to be fed spiritually as well. If all you do is serve and you don't take in, you're going to give out. Okay? And so we need to be taking in. And then you might get to a fourth level where you are now teaching. You're actually standing before people, rightly dividing the Bible, etc. We've talked about that, preparing Sunday school lessons, investing in people, etc. And so we get to these places in our ministry and in our lives. Now, we've talked about all that, and last week we began to study this thing of a, if you will, a church dress code. And all that means is simply how we look, the way we look at church, why we look the way we look at church, and in our regular lives. Because as a mature Christian, we should look the same everywhere. Why? Because we're a Christian everywhere. Okay, now, I'm not going to wear my muddy boots and my greasy jeans and my, you know, ripped up t-shirts, if you will, from working on, you know, building stuff or tearing down stuff or cars and things, you know, to stand here and preach. Okay? But as far as I'm talking about the kinds of clothing we wear, in other words, whether we talked about this last week, whether it's a man's apparel or a woman's apparel is very important. Because at first glance, everything about you ladies, we should be able to say, that's a lady. And guys, everything about you, we should be able to say, that's a guy. Okay? And so, listen, that's just what God has designed. God is not the author of confusion. So last week we talked about the reason why, if you will, as Christians, and not just a church, if you will, we should have a, if you quote unquote, dress code, or a way that we behave ourselves in our physical bodies. Why? Because it's biblical. In obedience to God's word, I should be a Christian man, and if you're a woman, you should be a Christian woman or Christian lady. That's just very, that's very basic. Our world today is trying to mash them all together. Okay? No, it is. And you know what? This didn't start just today. You understand that the Egyptian culture was very, very well known for this particular method. Oh, absolutely. You study history. Okay? And by the way, that's one of the reasons why I'm for growing a beard. Okay? Because, you know, ladies, you shouldn't be able to do this. Okay? Now, if you can, I guess, well, I don't know. But, you know, more, you know, this is something God has designed, you know? But you understand the way we cut our hair, we talked about the covering last week. There should be a distinct difference. Now, I know I'm going bald, and ladies, if you're going bald, you can't help that. I understand that. But that's not exactly what I'm talking about. Is that the things that we can control, if you will, which is the raiment that we put on, the way that we keep ourselves. You know, the Bible gives great instructions of how to maintenance a man's beard. It does. It gives great details of how a lady's supposed to keep her hair and keep her attire and keep herself before the Lord. So, if we're just going to say that it doesn't matter what you wear, it doesn't matter what you look like, then you know what? Just take your Bible and throw it away. Because you're saying that it doesn't matter what God says about our appearance. Folks, our appearance matters. Someone brought this up to me. I don't remember who it is, but anyways. They brought this up to me. I think it was Brother Losey. But remember how in Samuel, when Samuel was looking for the next king, right? And remember, he went to Jesse's house, and Eliab was there, and the other brothers were there, and they walked by one, and Samuel thought to himself, "Boy, this guy, it's got to be this guy. He's the one, you know." And remember what God told him? That man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Now, I want you to understand something. Almost every preacher focuses on that second line, that God looketh upon the heart. But folks, people look on the outward appearance. That's a philosophical, biblical, ideological truth. When they see this, what should they think? Oh, pastor. You know? Because I look the part, I act the part, I talk the part, I am the part. You know, even when I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt, I'm still a pastor. You understand that? And there's a purpose for different types of clothing. Even in the Israelite culture, the guys would wear different types of clothing based on their occupations. And there were different types of clothing for the women based on their what things that they were doing. Do you know that not always were they inside cleaning the house or cooking? Maybe they were, you ever read Proverbs 31? That lady was doing everything. I mean it. She was a busy lady, and she had her fingers in all kinds of different occupations, if you will. So please understand that because we want to obey the word of God is why we talk about standards and dress code and the way people dress a lot. Why? Because man does look on the outward appearance. And it does matter to God about what we wear, why we wear what we wear, what we look like, if we look like a man, if we look like a woman, because God does not like confusion. God does not like turmoil. God does not like strife. God does not like all those things. Those are all things that the devil tries to stir up. And you know, there shouldn't be none of that in our lives. Now, the second reason why we have, if you will, a dress code as a Christian, or a way we appear to the Lord, is to protect the testimony of the church. So take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Do you understand that if the church is indeed the bride of Christ, and it is, right? We belong to the Lord. All right? Now, when we are saved, we are bought with a price. We are not our own. So that means I do not have my own identity. I do not have my own name. I do not have my own life to live. It is now God's life, and my identity is His. I identify as His child. You understand how that works? So therefore, it is not my name that I'm representing. It is the name of God that I'm representing. So as a representative of God, and the Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ, guess what I should represent? I should represent God. Why? Because of the testimony. And since the church is Christ's church, we're not representing Lighthouse Baptist Church in Wiley, Texas. We're not representing Eric Combs as the pastor. We're not representing church member A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. We are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, it's not our testimony. It's our testimony that's His testimony. Do you understand how that works? Because if I bring shame to His name, then shame on me, right? But it also shames the name of Christ, which may cause someone to not trust Christ. And how dare we do that? By the way, when somebody sees you, they should say, church member. Oh, that's a Christian. Oh, that's one of those independent Baptists. And listen, if they roll their eyes, you get bonus points. Right? Yeah, I think so. You know, but listen, God, this is how it should be. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 16. Oh, go back to 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Folks, if we're not salty, if we're not different, then we're not good for anything. If they can't tell, like for instance, why do you put salt on food? Because it tastes better, makes it taste better, right? I mean, I like to watch cooking videos, cooking shows, okay? They were comparing the way other countries cook steak and how we cook steak here in America. You know, in some countries, all they do is they just cook steak. They just cook the meat. That's it. Just put the meat on the fire, and then they cut it, and they serve. That's all. No seasoning. No, just the meat. And I guess that's fine, right? But how many of you just like some salt on that thing? Maybe some pepper. Ethan, you would not be able to survive in another country. That kid puts a half a can of Tony's seasoning on everything, and I think his taste buds are broken. I don't know. I'm not sure. So in other words, if we don't have any savor, what do we need it for? We're useless. We got to have some savor. That testimony is important. He says, "Ye are the light of the world." He said, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." So we're not supposed to be hidden. He says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." So we're not supposed to be covert Christians. We're not supposed to be undercover Christians. We're supposed to be out there. Here I am. I'm a Christian. This is my testimony. Hey, look, I'm a man. I dress like a man. Or if you're a woman, you're a woman. You dress like a woman. And they should, male, female, this makes sense. And guess what? The men should behave as men are supposed to behave. The women should behave as women are supposed to behave. You say, where do we find out those things? Right here. Because the Bible says what women are supposed to do and what men are supposed to do. And by the way, that's not some Neanderthal way of thinking. It's what God's word says a man was created to do and a woman was created to do. By the way, I hope you understand that in a home, the man is supposed to be the head of the home. Okay? And if he's not, he's violating what God says he's supposed to do. And the poor woman, then she feels like she has to take up the slack, and then now she's out of place. So shame on you, fella, for making her be out of her place. But you know what? Sometimes, and I've seen this in relationships, sometimes the woman thinks she's in charge. And guess what? That's a bad situation. Because she's not supposed to be in charge. You say, boy, you're talking all this old-fashioned stuff. This doesn't exist in this century. It should. I'm sorry. All the TV shows are wrong. Okay? Daddy's not a dope. The kids are all, you know, sassy, mouthy little things. The mama's the strong one. You know, she's taking care of the home. That's all backwards, everybody. It's backwards. It's not how it's supposed to be. That's not God's design. And neither is the way that sometimes the world dresses today. Listen, there are times at the store when I'm walking around, I have to look twice. And like, I'm not sure. Is that a man or a woman? I have no clue. I should have a clue. I should be able to tell. But unfortunately, in our world today, that's not always the case. Now, but let's go back to the testimony. So he says here we're not supposed to be hidden. We're not supposed to be covert Christians. We're supposed to have a savory testimony, a bright testimony shining into our world. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Go over to 1 Peter. We've talked about this before. Oh, let's see, where do I want to start? Look at chapter 2. Well, let's start at verse 9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. So all of these titles are given to us as God's people, as Christians. So we're supposed to be a royal priesthood. We're in, if you will, a chosen generation. What does that look like, if you will? It's noticeable, I'll just tell you that. Okay? It's something people can notice. Now, let's go to the chosen generation part. What was the tribe of Israel, if you will, or the people of Israel to God? They were His chosen people. Okay? Now, what did He tell them to do as far as their duty as a nation amongst other nations? Be a testimony. They were supposed to stick out like a sore thumb, if you will, so that everyone could see how great it was to have God as their king. Did they succeed or fail? Mostly fail. Right? Shame on them. They were supposed to be that shining light. They were supposed to be that savory salt. They were supposed to be that example to the nations of, hey, come be like us because this is great. By the way, isn't it great being a servant of the king? Being a soldier in the army of the Lord? Being a child of God? You should be happy to do all this stuff. You should be happy to look this way and act this way and talk this way and be different from the world because we get to serve God. He says we're royal priesthood. I bet you that looks pretty cool. Right? All dressed up. Isn't that what you think of? Royal priesthood, you think of something's all dressed up. By the way, Aaron and his sons, they had special garments, right? They had special clothing. The people that served in the tabernacle had special clothing. God designed it. God gave it to them. They had special embroidery, special stones and things. Listen, they had special stuff. You know what? I have special things
that I wear to church.
And it should be that way. Now, I wish I were more disciplined. I'm trying. I really am. Because I have been, if you will, in my special attire, doing not church things. Like playing football. In my church shoes, in my suit. That's how I got my separated shoulder. Okay? When you don't have the right equipment for the right sports, that's what happens to you. When you're trying to turn the corner and outflank the defense and you slip and fall and smash your shoulder, and that's not good. Hey, I have changed the car's oil in my suit before. And my wife is like, don't do that. Okay? You know, but honestly, truly, this should be special attire. Because isn't God special? If we're a royal priesthood, we should have special things that we wear to church because it's God. He says we're a peculiar people. We're a holy nation. Why? There's a semicolon here in this verse. He says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's a showing. So what am I getting at? A testimony. It's an outward showing of who and what we are. Folks, we are not like them. We're not dead anymore. We're alive in Christ. We should be noticeably different. And if somebody walks up to you and says, boy, you have that toxic masculinity. And I look at them and say, thank you very much. Do you have any more compliments for me today? That's not talk. I mean, that's a garbage word from the world today. And you know what? But they should notice. They should notice that I'm a man because God created me to be a man. And they should notice, lady, that you're a woman because God, that's what God created you to be. And you know what? I don't know because I'm not one. I've never worn a dress. I can tell you that. I can look in your eye and I can tell you. The only dress I've ever worn is those silly gowns that the professor has to wear during graduation. You know, the graduation gowns. I don't know if that, it looks like a dress. I don't know. I don't know if it counts as a dress, but I am wearing a suit underneath it. So there you go. I hate wearing those things. I put them on as late as I can and take them off as fast as I can. I just despise them. I think they should be outlawed, like these things right here, these neckties. But I guess it's a good microphone holder. But anyways, I'm sure, ladies, that you get some looks from other ladies. And maybe even other ladies make, worldly ladies, if you will, make comments to you. You know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. I'm not one, so I wouldn't know that. But, you know, I have watched, if you will, other ladies notice my girls and my wife before. And you know what? That's great. I'm excited every time. Because they noticed something about us. That's our testimony, people. We should want to be noticed. Because just maybe they'll ask us about our Savior. Just maybe they'll ask us about our God. Just maybe they'll come to the knowledge of the truth through the testimony that we show to them of our great God and great Savior, Jesus Christ. We should be different. We should be noticeable. Because if we're under a bushel basket, or if we've lost our savor, we're good for nothing and cast aside. That's the second reason why we should have some sort of a dress code or way we exist, not just at church, but everywhere, folks. Consistency is the key to success in the Christian life. Are you going to be a Christian everywhere you go? The other reason is that we want to promote a consistent atmosphere in the church. Unity of the Spirit. You know what? There should just be a way that we behave ourselves in the house of God. Gee, I think I've heard that somewhere before. Yeah, that's right here in our text. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the church. When people come to this church, they should see one standard.
A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Folks, double standards are bad. Do what I say, not what I do, is bad. Living one way at church and living another way at home is bad. God doesn't want us to be wishy-washy. He wants us to be constant. He wants us to be steadfast. He wants us to stand in the faith. He wants us to stand against evil, stand for truth, right? So we're supposed to stand up for Jesus. We need to have the right atmosphere. Hey, when people come to church, they should not even fathom that they'd come across certain conversations, certain topics, certain things that their ears hear or that their eyes see. Amen? You know what? As a dad and as my wife as a mother, we have been in this parenting business for 20 and 11 twelfths years. Is that about, well, not quite, 10 twelfths or so. She'll be 21 in July, at the end of the July. All right, so we've been doing this parenting thing for a little while. All right, and it's not just, oh yeah, you have one 21-year-old. No, we have one in every age category almost, all the way down to one-year-old. So I've been in this a long time. Can I tell you something? I have tried so hard to protect my children from the knowledge of the things of this world. It's hard, folks. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard. But you know what? In our world makes it even harder. There are some things... it's hard. Because they either see it, they hear it. You can't even help it sometimes. When you're walking... down over at Walmart, even at Walmart, you know, Walmart's probably the worst place to go, seems like. You see all kinds of crazy things at Walmart. And you know, your kids are like, Daddy, why does that woman look like this? Or why does that man look like this? And I'm like, well, because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. You know, it's hard to explain sometimes, you know. Or why does that woman look like a man? Why does that man look like a woman? That's tough. Because I'm sitting here trying to teach them the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God, what God created, what God has defined, and our world is the opposite of those things. So we need to provide a consistent atmosphere, not only here at church. By the way, people should know what to expect here at church. You know, proper expectations are a great way to live. But you know what? Those things should be consistent at home too. There should be, why is it that we wouldn't even dream of letting something into church to corrupt the atmosphere? Why do we let it into our houses? You say, how do we let it in? Oh, through things like television, internet, right? Other, if you will, friendships with worldly people, etc. Why do we do that? We need to make sure that we are behaving ourselves as we ought to everywhere. Now, the reason why this is kind of mentioned at this level, if you will, is because as we get to the place where we are standing in front of people and being teachers of the Word of God, we should already be here, folks. Other people that are newer to church or newer to Christianity are still growing, and that's okay. But we need to make sure that we're setting an example for new Christians. When someone's a babe in Christ, for instance, if you get a hold of Flora or you get a hold of Greta, my little girls, and you can talk to them. It's okay. I'm allowing you to talk to them. You can talk to them. And you talk to them, they're gonna kind of mimic the things that you do or that I do, et cetera, because that's what kids do. They mimic stuff. And young Christians, you know what they start to do? They come into a church, and at first they may not understand. But because they're in love with Christ, they've just gotten born again, they've escaped the fires of hell, they're eager to learn, and they're like, wow! And you know what? Shame on you, mature Christian, if you lead them down the wrong path because you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing. Or you're wearing something you're not supposed to wear. Or you're an example of something that you're not supposed to be an example of. Because they don't know. A lot of times these people don't know any better because they're just brand new. But we need to be a steadfast example to show them what Christianity really should be and is. When a person gets saved, they're ignorant of God's word. They're ignorant of how to live the Christian life. So naturally they look to older, established, mature Christians as their example. And that's another reason why we, as members of a local church, as members of the body of Christ, as maturing Christians in the Lord, should be that example for them. And by the way, you've probably heard this before, but if I have a level of standard and conviction in my life that's here, right, the people that are under my leadership are going to be a little off of what I am. So if I'm right on the line, guess where they're going to be? Falling off the edge. Folks, we need to be above reproach. And you know what? I have never been sorry for being better as a Christian than maybe I even, if you will, need to be. Why? Because it's great serving God. And you know what? It's not a drudgery. It's not grievous. It's not, oh, I'm oppressed. Now I wrote myself a note here. I purpose not to get on this soapbox, so I'm not going to do it. I'll just mention it just a little bit, because I could go off on a tangent here. But listen, there are people that are leaving our types of churches, and they're doing it under the guise of abuse. Now, some of them really are abused, and that's a tragedy. And I'm not criticizing that at all. But what I'm saying is that they're saying that, well, that pastor said, because I'm a woman, I should wear a dress. That's abuse. That's mental abuse. I'm sorry, you're stupid. That's not mental abuse. That's God's word. And I'm just sick of these people. They're crying wolf, if you will, because they're not paying attention to the word of God. And listen, I will never be for abuse. Abuse is awful. But this type of stuff is not abuse. It is just simply how we ought to live. And so we've got to remember that we need to be the example, because God says there's a way you're supposed to dress, a way you're supposed to look, a way you're supposed to behave. Men are supposed to be men. Women are supposed to be women. Men are supposed to do what men are supposed to do. Women are supposed to do what women are supposed to do. The church is supposed to function how it's supposed to function. There's pastors, there's deacons, there's teachers, there's all these. We're supposed to be what God has designed us to be. Now, here's some things that we need to keep in mind. Well, you're listening very well today. I might actually get done with this. When it comes to as far as our physical clothing, the first thing is we should make sure that everything that we have is modest. Okay? Now, simply modesty is, if you will, a form of talking about covering to not, if you will, show off your body. Okay, that's what modesty is all about. All right, so things that are too tight, too short. What are all the twos? Too low, too high. You know, anything too. Well, what does God teach us? He teaches us his balance, right? All right, so if you go back and you read the book of Leviticus, it talks about clothing. It talks about things that are on the human body that other human beings are not supposed to see. Everybody okay with that? By the way, you just drive down the road and you see plenty of what you're not supposed to see just by driving around. Listen, I lived in Europe for 3 years, Italy or Sicily specifically, but I had the chance to travel Europe. Some of you have traveled to different places. And let me tell you something. Even back in the 90s, this was in the late 90s, early 2000, I know what I'm talking about. But listen, it was dangerous for me as a Christian young man to drive around Italy and Sicily. You know why? Because there were naked people on billboards. I mean, I'm talking no clothes. Not just a swimming suit. That's awful, folks. We should never have to be exposed to that kind of stuff. Okay? There's just some things that we're not supposed to see on your physical person. And that's okay. Cover it up. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be modest in our apparel. You understand, go to 1 Timothy 2 there. We're close by. Look at verse 9. He says here, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And let me just say something here. That's not just for women. Men should be modest. Remember when Peter was running away from what God called him to do and to be because of his shame? Remember when he cursed God cursed Christ that last time, and you know he cursed and he went away sorrowful, right? And he went back fishing. And when Christ was standing on the shoreline calling him, he was what? Yeah. Now, he did have some clothing on, but he was showing off something of his body that he was not supposed to show off. So he girded his fisher's coat around him and then jumped into the water, because that's really smart. He might drown, you know? But why did he do that? Because he was ashamed. He knew he wasn't supposed to. Folks, this does not just apply to women. Men need to be modest. You know what? I shouldn't be showing off my bulging muscular structure. Thank you for laughing, because I don't have one of those. But you wouldn't know it, right? Amen? Because I'm not going to show it to you. You see what I'm talking about? So, folks, we've got to understand. I'm one of those guys, if you will, I have a farmer's tan, you know, because I'm covering up the stuff that I'm not supposed to show to anybody else, and it's white. It's bright white. Okay, some even says it glows, and that's not just a Christmas song. I'm trying to bring a little levity into this because it's a heavy subject, I know. But listen, that's how we're supposed to be. But by the way, another reason is not just modesty, but propriety. You know what propriety means? It means what's proper. You know, there's proper and improper, right? And as Christians, we're supposed to be proper. As servants of God, we're supposed to be proper. If I were the ambassador of the United States of America, and I were to walk around in Bermuda shorts, a tank top, and flip-flops, representing the United States of America, is that the right way to represent the United States of America? No! That's not the right way to represent anything. Unless you're representing Hawaii, I suppose. But I guess that'd be okay. But no, we're children of God, and we should represent the Lord as such. Godliness. We're supposed to be shaped in the image of God, in the image of Christ. Do you suppose that Christ would show himself immodestly or inappropriately? Never, right? In all of the dealings that Jesus had on this earth, in his earthly ministry, he always was proper. He always was modest. He always was upright in everything. Why? Because he was God and man at the same time. Godliness means that we should shine, or we should represent God. If we wear something that glorifies the world and sin, that's not godliness. Because God would never glorify the world. He would never glorify the things of this world, because we know that if we love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. He wants us to separate ourselves from the world. So why would I wear a rock t-shirt? That's silly, right? Why would I wear a shirt that or clothing that advertises for something that's sinful or looks cool? One of the things I had and this is just something that I believe, but there are some pretty vile and wicked clothing companies out there. Okay? And I'll just name a couple of them. Aeropostale is one. Hollister is another one. You just don't even look at their advertisements. They're wicked. They promote vile, wicked stuff. Why would you buy clothing from them and sport it like it's something cool? It's not cool. It's wicked. Christians shouldn't advertise for the world. We should have a form of godliness. We should advertise things that are godly. And we should be distinct. We should be separate. We should be different. We should stick out because we are Christians. And when everybody else is rushing toward this fashion, we should be rushing away from it. You know? That's that flee and follow thing I was talking about this morning. Listen, folks, it's God's design. God is a distinction type being. You understand that, right? Light, darkness, water, land, man, woman. You know, God does things that are distinct. Christian, not Christian. And we talked about this morning in our Sunday school class, some of you weren't in there, but we were talking about the city of Sardis. He said, you have a name and you're alive, but you're dead. We're not supposed to be alive, but dead. We're supposed to be alive, but alive. We're supposed to be alive. If we are alive, we should be alive. And if we're born again, we should live in that new nature, that new man, and we should not go back to the old man and the old nature. So all of these things have to do with how we behave ourselves as a Christian. And folks, listen, I'm just trying to give you the nuts and the bolts. Why we do what we do, why we wear what we wear, why we look how we look, why we behave how we behave, why we act like we act. And these things, because God has designed it that way. And as we grow in our levels of leadership, and as we grow as a mature Christian, a maturing Christian in the local church, we should raise the bar. I've been saved. I guess technically speaking, next summer will be 40 years. Next June will be 40 years. So I'm at 39 years of being saved. Can I tell you something? I should be doing less and less of these worldly things as having been saved for 39 years. And there are just some things I flat shouldn't do anymore at all because I've grown past that. You know, as a 47-year-old, do you know there are some things I don't do anymore? Why? Because I'm getting too old for that. It's just true, right? I cannot play with the teenagers like I used to. And I'm learning that maybe I shouldn't play with them at all anymore. Okay? Maybe when I hit 50, I just won't anymore. But it wears on me. But you know, as we mature in Christ, there's just some things. By the way, look, it's not bad to throw out some of that old clothing. It's not bad to get rid of some of that old entertainment. It's not bad to start purging things as you read God's word. And as you get closer to God, you should get further away from the world. And those things shouldn't fancy you anymore. I think I said that backwards. You shouldn't fancy them. But you know, and then you should just get rid of them. I remember that when I got right about music, this I'll tell you that story when we study music. But when I got right about music, I didn't go down to the thrift store and try to sell my old CDs and records, etc. You know what I did? I took an axe to them. I did. Why? Because they were evil. It was wicked music. You say, well, what was it? Well, I had quite an eclectic variety of music, but even containing Christian rock music. You say, but the words are good. No, it was bad. Oh, but it was thousands of dollars of valuable stuff. You could have gotten money for it. The money is not worth it, folks. Why would I want to poison somebody else's mind? You know what I did? I destroyed it. Got rid of it. You know, there's some things we need to purge. And you know what? It'd probably be a wise thing as a believer, every year, maybe on your spiritual birthday, have another purging. Make it part of your spiritual birthday party. Say, hey, what worldly things can I get rid of now that I've learned another year about Jesus? How about that, huh? There's some youthful lusts that we need to begin fleeing and follow after righteousness, faith, purity, godliness, all those things that Paul says. That's what this is all about. So this is not about that old Baptist, mean Baptist preacher telling you men that you can't wear these things and you women that you can't wear these things and look like this. No, it's just God defining who and what we are. And if you will, allowing God to define who and what we are. Why? Because he deserves it. He's God. He deserves a good testimony. He deserves modesty and propriety. And the other things that I can't remember what they are right now because I put my paper away. Godliness and distinction. God deserves those things. Shouldn't we give it to him? Year by year, bit by bit, as we grow in Christ, we should always be raising the bar. Because we love him. And he loves us.